Let us go now to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and merciful God, the giver of life and the giver of all good things, we come to you this Christmas Eve evening in corporate prayer. God, we know the Magi traveled for miles to bring the Christ child the first Christmas presents. So may we too remember with thankful hearts the love that comes with the presence of Jesus in our lives. Help us now to recognize the love contained in the birth of our Lord and Savior, the one true, undeniable gift to the world. We also thank you, God, for the love you have for each one of us. And we thank you for the many blessings you bestow on us, especially the gift of life itself. This evening, God, I have a special request on behalf of all gathered here in this special place. The Bethlehem Star led us to the sight of Jesus, who freed us from ourselves. Tonight, gracious God, I ask your divine countenance to help make us pure as you are holy, and help make us meek as you were lowly. We ask with humble hearts this evening as your earthly disciples. May this Christmas afford us the ability to share your peace, your hope, your love, and your joy in the same way you brought those things to us that Christmas morning 2,000 plus years ago. We ask this now, this prayer, this corporate prayer, in this family of faith gathered here with our friends, in thy name, in thy service. And all God's people said, Amen. Again, good evening and Merry Christmas to one and all. During this special time of year, we see our family traditions surface and reign as we navigate the Christmas holiday season. And every family has their own special way of doing all things Christmas. Make no mistake, these family traditions are governance and codified into family law. If you don't believe me, simply try to change one of them in family tradition. Nothing, and I mean nothing, shall break them. Not even holy matrimony. When one marries into a family, the newlyweds are charged with figuring all of this out, and they are charged with to the ability to intermingle those two separate family traditions and put them together and make them work. The specifics of these traditions vary from, we don't use artificial trees, we use real trees. Traditions use colored lights or white lights, perhaps. Meals are also very specific. Some serve ham, some serve turkey, some serve shrimp and oysters, and then others serve it all. A family's gift exchange is also part of family tradition at this Christmas time. Christmas Eve opening versus Christmas Day opening. Thus, we all have traditions, and these traditions make Christmas a special and magical time in our lives. Our whole world, for approximately 4 to 6 weeks during each calendar year, is enriched by the celebration of an extraordinary event that happened over 2,000 years ago when God so loved the world, he became flesh and arrived as a fragile newborn. This celebration creates pause in our life. And for a brief moment, we snap to and we begin to celebrate and commemorate and act as we should. We focus on hope. We focus on peace and joy and love. And our hearts are filled with the pleasure of giving. And giving liberally we do in this season of Christmas. It was here in this very sanctuary many years ago During a traditional Christmas Eve service, Reverend Caldwell preached his homily. It is one of the many messages spoken in this special place by him that I will never, ever forget. Every time the church is decorated for Christmas, I can hear that very message. It begins like this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Mr. Caldwell simply preached that night the Christmas story, right out of Luke. This evening, you and I again are partaking in yet another very important Christmas tradition. In fact, this is our 275th Christmas Eve together. And here we are in the midst of our busy lives, lots of things going on in our world, and we stop for just a brief moment and follow our faith and our love of Jesus Christ. We are immersed in tradition tonight as we have gathered here to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. However, friends, this Christmas Eve, I'm going to ask you, as you swim your way through tomorrow and the days to come, all the hustle and bustle that comes with that, I'm going to ask you not to lose your focus on the giving spirit of this season. See, it's easy tonight. It will be easy tomorrow. But then as the days fade, it will become more difficult to maintain that spirit. You see, the key element in all of these traditions I spoke about is family. The hard truth is there are many people from all walks of life this very second who are not honored with this tradition that you are honored with tonight. Simply because, you may ask why, simply because they have no one to share it with. If you are here with your family and your loved ones and your friends, you are blessed beyond measure. We celebrate tonight the first coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are in awe of the power of God at this very moment. God sent His only Son to save us from our sins and clear a path for us to live with Him eternal. Not because we loved Him as we should have, but it's because He simply loved us more than we deserved. During this season, we often overlook that God also sent Jesus to us to teach us how to love and how to give. I want to quote two quick scriptures. Joshua 1:9. I've commanded you to be strong and brave. Don't ever be afraid or discouraged. I am the Lord, your God, and I will be there to help you wherever you go. And John 4:19, perhaps one of my favorites. We love as human beings because God loved us first. So like Mr. Caldwell, I want to share a quick story with you tonight as I close, and it is my hope that you are able to take this with you in your hearts of heart tonight. Not only to share it this evening and tomorrow, but in the days to come. This was a story that was published in the New York Daily News on December the 24th of 2014 by Karen Zedowick. And it goes like this. And I have made some edits to it, but the majority of this story is written by her. The story is this, entitled A Little Lamb, A Boy, and a Christmas Story. It was cold in the stable that one night so long ago, and the animals were huddled together for warmth. The cows, the oxen, the donkeys, and one little lamb. A sad, scrawny little lamb he was. The lamb was born lame and frail. way too frail to be out with the flock in the fields. The shepherds had carried him into the stable where he would be safe from the wind and from the wolves. For both the wolves and the wind came down from the hills with a vengeance in the wintertime. The lamb had food and shelter, but that was not enough. The lamb was lonely. Separated from its mother, it felt unloved. The other animals tried to be kind, but they had no time for the lamb. During the day, they were busy working. The cows had milk to make, the oxen had earth to plow, and the donkeys had carts to pull. At night, they were all very tired. As the day closed and the night began, the cows, oxen, and donkeys would come in and feed upon the fodder, and then they would go straight to bed, leaving no time for the little lamb. None would talk to him, none would play with him, none would even sing a simple lullaby to put him to sleep. Every night the lamb would cry and be told to hush by the others, for his bleats disturbed their sleep. This went on several nights. But then it came upon a midnight clear, a special night. This particular night, the lamb cried without making a sound as he had done the previous nights because he was scolded. You see, this particular night, it appeared that several strangers were sharing the stable with him. The lamb watched as the man held the woman's hand and spoke to her softly. He especially watched the woman as she spoke not a word. Huddled together, the animals slept, and eventually the lamb slept too, and the night became extremely silent. But then, in the darkest hour, there was no more darkness and no more silence. There was the cry of a baby, and the stable shone with the brightest of lights, and there were voices ringing in the air. All the animals were shaken from their dreams. The commotion had frightened them all. They stamped their hooves and tossed their heads and made their presence known. But the light was so lovely and the voices so beautiful, it wasn't long before they quieted and began to lose their fear. When the light had dimmed, to a glow, and the voices were only an echo, there in a manger, they saw a baby boy. And their eyes went wide with absolute wonder. The animals mumbled, but would not approach until the woman beckoned for them to draw near. Then one by one, the animals came forward. All that is, except the little lamb, which was only a baby itself and still terribly afraid. Forgotten by the others, it trembled in a corner and tried to hide beneath the hay. But like the little lamb, the baby in the manger was trembling too. The cold of the night had returned, you see, and the baby had started to shiver. When the animals saw this, they huddled closer about the crib. The man took off his cloak and made a blanket of it, but the cloak was thin and threadbare and provided little to no warmth. The woman held the baby to her breast. He shivered still, and she began to weep. And the lamb, which knew what weeping meant, lifted its little head and removed its body from the hay. Though it was still afraid, it left its hiding place. It made its way among the legs of the bigger animals who earlier had found no time for him, until it too stood beside the woman, and it laid its head against her knee, and the softness of hands reached down and stroked its wool. With the gentleness of the hands, the man and the woman picked it up and tucked it too into the manger, and then tucked the baby in beside the lamb. Covered them both with the cloak. The baby snuggled near and smiled and closed his eyes. The lamb was very glad it had learned to cry without making a sound, because it was crying now and it didn't want to wake the child. But the lamb wasn't crying because it was sad. It was crying because at last in its life, it didn't feel alone. It wasn't afraid. It was no longer unwanted or unloved. The lamb was in the presence of Christ, where loneliness doesn't exist, where fear is diminished, where one is always wanted and loved endlessly. The lamb closed its eyes too, and the woman sang a lullaby. Friends, in this short story, we learn of a gift from the heart. One from God given in love, and one from the Lamb given in the need of love. The gift of love has no boundaries. It is endless in supply because it comes from Christ and shared among the world by each one of us. Friends, we are here because of love. We love today because God loved us first. Love is a gift given to us so we can give it to each other. It doesn't require wrapping paper and ribbon. It requires a Christian heart, one immersed in the tradition of Jesus Christ, born under the world to reveal God's love for each one of us. Friends, we are not judged by the bounties we reap and stow away. We are judged by the number of seeds we plant. To whom much is given, much is expected. The gift of Jesus Christ is for you and for me. It is meant to be shared. Share it tonight. In the days to come, and plant the seed. Amen.